if the Jewish people are in Adam, which they are, along with, by the way, all peoples, tribes, tongues on the face of the earth, then the Jewish people are also born into this troubling, hopeless condition of being in sin, but for a Messiah. The Jewish people were God's priestly answer to the problem of sin.
Welcome to A Jew and a Gentile Discuss. I'm your co-host, Carly Berna.
And I'm Ezra Benjamin.
And for those listening and longtime listeners, this is our third season, so welcome to the third season. Ezra and I were just talking about that we started this podcast in the middle of 2020 during the pandemic.
The dark days of the pandemic, and everybody was shut-ins and working from home and doing whatever, you know, from their like makeshift home office, which was formerly a closet. And we said, hey, we should get some discussions going about what the Jewish and Christian communities have to do with each other and what brings them together and what keeps them apart and why that matters as people read the news or look at CNN or Fox or Al Jazeera or whatever. And a podcast was born. And here we are, what, 60-some episodes later, Carly?
Yes, yeah. And if you're new to this podcast, if you haven't heard it before, just kind of a quick summary. We're a Jew and a Gentile who both believe in Jesus, believe that there's value in looking at history as well as today's world and the headlines through both a Jewish and a Christian lens. So we talk about the importance of Jewish people, the importance of Israel, what that means as a Christian. Today, we're actually going to talk about kind of Jewish heritage and answer a question from someone who wrote into us. But before we get started, we want to let you know about an opportunity we have for you to support Jewish communities that you probably have never heard of living in some of the most remote parts of the world. We help them with immediate physical needs, and we also share the gospel with them. So there's more details on our website, ajewandagentilediscuss.org. And as a thank you for getting involved, we want to send you some coffee from Ethiopia, which is one of the countries we've served over 20 years. So stay tuned to the end of this podcast for a chance to win that coffee for free. So let's discuss. So Ezra, you know, when we think about Judaism and where it starts, I can totally understand this question that was sent in. And if you clicked on this podcast, you already know the question because you saw the title, which is, was Adam Jewish? But when I think about, you know, okay, the earliest Jewish person in the Bible, I think of Abraham. But if Adam is the father of all people, I think that's where the listener is trying to go, which is, did Judaism go all the way back to Adam?
Right.
Is that where the lineage begins?
Right. And it's a good question. And I think we have to back up a half a question or so and say, is Judaism, and we talk about this in other podcast episodes, so check it out. But this kind of enduring question, is Judaism or Jewishness, if you will, is it a race? Is it an ethnicity? Is it a heritage? Is it a faith? Is it a religion? Yes, 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 yes. Okay, well, how do we distinguish between those? And so if it's indeed like literally something that's passed down from generation to generation, as we say in Hebrew, l'dor v'dor, from generation to generation, it means through the DNA, like from one or both parents through to the next set of kids who are then parents to the next set of kids, then the question you're asking and saying is, was Adam Jewish, is does the family tree actually go up the line rather than just down the line? And before Abraham shows up on the scene, or even before he was Abraham, he was Abram. More on that in a minute. What does that have to do with Adam? What we need to do actually is look into the scriptures themselves. So let's look into the first book of the five books that make up the Jewish Torah, which for a Christian audience or an English-speaking audience of any kind is Genesis through Deuteronomy. All right? So we're going to look at the beginning of the Old Testament or the first book in Torah in Genesis chapter 14. Verse 13, okay? And I want to point something out that maybe we read over and we just take for granted, but we shouldn't, because it's part of answering the question about Adam and where did the Jewish people begin. So there's this story about Abram, who's been called out of the nations, out of where he lived in kind of Syria or Iran in the ancient world, called out to go to a land God would show him, and he responds in faith, not knowing where he was going. In response to that command, go, leave your family and your father and go to a land I'll show you. Okay, leave everything behind and follow me. And Abram says yes. And so in the course of his journeys through this land that God would show him in Genesis 14, he's in the process of rescuing Lot, who's in trouble. We know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Lot's in big trouble. But then in verse 13, in the middle of this story of Abram rescuing Lot, it says this, a man who had escaped meaning the trouble that Lot was going through in Sodom, okay? A man who had escaped came and reported this news, to Abram the Hebrew. Now, Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre. Like, scratch the record. Wait. Let's go back. A man who had escaped came and reported this to Abram, Avram in Hebrew, the Hebrew. And Carly, it's the first time in the scriptures where we see the word Hebrew. So before, the Jewish people were known as the Jewish people, which Jewish comes from the word Judah, actually, which means praise. And it literally refers to one of Jacob's sons, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, but it's really now in modern history referring to the Jewish people, wherever they are around the world. But before anybody was Jewish, and before they were Israeli or Israelite, when they came into the Promised Land after the exodus from slavery in Egypt, they were first Hebrew. And this is where we see it here. We see Abram called the Hebrew.
So Abraham wouldn't have known if someone said to him, "Are you Jewish?"
Right. Are you Jewish? Are you Judah? Well, remember, that's his grandchildren become the tribe of Judah and 11 and a half others, right? Depending on how you count, with the half tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. But that's a story for another day, another episode. So yeah, Avram would not have known the word Jewish, but here he is. I mean, Abram didn't write the Torah. Moses did. So the word Hebrew is chosen here, but Abram might not even have known himself as a Hebrew. And what does it mean? Is it a language? I know people speak Hebrew, right? Israelis speak Hebrew. My wife speaks modern Hebrew. But the word here is talking about an identity, not a language. And Hebrew, in Hebrew, if you will, is Ivrit. And that's Brit. If you think of, you know, there's a lot of synagogues actually in North America that are called like Brit Kodesh, Holy Covenant, or, you know, there's other Brit this and Brit that. But Brit or Brit in Hebrew means covenant. Avram here in Genesis 14 is called a Hebrew or a Ivrit, and it literally means Avram of the covenant. Well, wait. Like, Isaac and Jacob aren't born yet. There's no 12 tribes of Israel, so what's this covenant? And so to answer that question, we have to go back two chapters. And there's this very well-known in Christian and Jewish circles kind of passage of scripture, right? Avram is called out before he becomes Avraham, the father of many nations. He's Avram, and he's called out of where he's from. And God shows up on the scene and says, and this is Genesis 12, verse 2, "I will make you, Avram, into a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth, or all the families of the earth, will be blessed through you." And so God shows up and makes Abram, a promise. "I'm going to bless you. And the people who agree with my posture of blessing you, I'll bless them. And the people who stand against my intent to bless you and try to curse you, antithetically to my purposes, they're going to be cursed." And so Abram then receives this promise. He didn't ask for it. He didn't say, "God bless me." All he did was say, "Yes, I'll go to the land that I don't know that you're going to show me." And in response to that, God rewards him by making him this promise, or you can say a covenant. And then in Genesis 13, verse 3, skipping ahead, it talks about Avram's journeys through what would become the land of Israel later, but through that land that God would show him, through the Negev desert in the south of Israel. And it says he came to a place called Bethel, or Bet-El, which literally means house of God. And it says there, Abram called on the name of the Lord. So what makes Abram a Hebrew, Carly, right? Like, that's what we're trying to establish here. What makes Abram of the covenant? Two things, three things, actually. His obedience to the voice of God, that faith, God's reward of that faith, which is blessing and saying, "You and your descendants," literally in Hebrew, it's kind of awkward. It's sperm, like literally your seed will be blessed. More on that in a couple minutes. And then thirdly, Abraham responds to God responding to his faith by actually calling on him. So faith and obedience, God's blessing unsolicited as a reward for faith, and then calling on God, that relationship. That makes Abraham of the covenant. Before he ever becomes Avraham, the father of many peoples, before Isaac and Ishmael are born, or I should say Ishmael and Isaac, because Ishmael is the firstborn, before Jacob and Esau are born, before there's the 12 tribes of Israel and Jacob becomes Israel, before slavery in Egypt, before the Promised Land, all of this is faith, obedience to God, God's blessing, and relationship with God. That makes Abraham of the covenant. And so in a way, That's how we can know if the Jewish people's identity is all wrapped up in them being, if you will, the chosen people. And where do we get that? God chose Abram and called him out from the nations and said, follow me and I'll bless you for your faith and your obedience. That makes Abram the first Jewish person. Now, does that go up to Adam? No. Covenants don't go up the family tree, but certainly they have a generational blessing or curse if they're not followed down the family tree.
Right. So was Adam Jewish? No. The first quote-unquote Jewish person, even right. though it didn't call them Jewish in the right. Bible, is Abraham.
Right.
And then we'll talk more about his seed like you talked about. But I was just thinking as you were talking, I know this isn't the point of this episode, but sure. there's something so encouraging in the fact that Abraham didn't ask to be blessed. He just said yes.
Right.
And he was just obedient. And then God blessed him in return, which I think right. anyone listening
right.
can take away from that. You yep. know, what a good example
totally.
Of just, you know, obedience, faith, and being blessed in return.
Totally. And I think that's, you know, for any of us, I'm a Jewish believer that, and what I mean by that is I believe Jesus or Yeshua in Hebrew is the promised Messiah for the Jewish people, as well as the Savior, the Redeemer of all mankind. I know you as a Christian, not from a Jewish background, believe the same. Now, why am I saying that? Because I heard somebody say, I heard a pastor actually last year say, really what it comes down to at the epicenter of any of our faith is this idea of hear, believe, and obey. And I think sometimes, Carly, we can get into the zone where our faith is this transactional relationship with God where it's like, I'm asking you to bless me because you said you would bless me. But look at the story of Abraham. Like, the blessing comes as God's response to Abram hearing the voice of God, believing that God was able to do what he said he was, and then obeying his voice.
Yeah.
And so for any of us, that's almost like, before we want to talk to the Lord about blessing, let's do like a quick spiritual life check. Am I actually willing to hear what God would say in the Word, by His Spirit? You know, am I willing to believe that it's true and then actually do what He says? Maybe I should start there before, you know, bless me, God.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So earlier you talked about the seed. So, okay, it doesn't go backwards up the lineage, but let's
right.
now talk about down. So
right.
Abraham's seed.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Isaac.
Right. So we have Abram, who becomes Abraham, the Hebrew, right? He's of the covenant. And yet, out of Abram's two sons, you have Ishmael, who's the firstborn, and you have Isaac. And any of the historians or Bible scholars, you know, listening to this podcast would go, oh yeah, Isaac and Jacob, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are the Jewish people. And, you know,
right.
the 12 tribes of Jacob, Jacob becomes Israel, we know the story. But what about Ishmael? So if Abram is the Hebrew, he's of the covenant, what's the deal with Ishmael? And does God care about Ishmael? We can call Ishmael, actually, looking at the historical and biblical account, if you will, the father of the Arab peoples and other communities of people groups on the earth who still exist today in the hundreds of millions, if not billions, right? So you have Ishmael, and Ishmael's the firstborn. Well, wait, if Abram's of the covenant and Ishmael's the firstborn, then why is an Ishmael Jewish? Why aren't the Arab people Jewish? Why is there so much animosity between the Arabs and the Jews? All of that's wrapped up in the story of their birth. Ishmael, if you recall, is the son of Hagar, the maidservant of Abram's wife, Sarah, Sarai at the time, before she gets an identity and a name change, right? And the problem is Abraham knows God's going to bless his seed, his Zerah, but he gets tired of waiting and actually in unbelief goes, look, my wife can't bear kids. She's old. I'm old. This ain't going to happen. Let's take the handmaiden, right, who can bear kids, and let me take faith into my own hands and do it my own way. And so they have a kid, Ishmael, which actually means God has heard. Important. Like, put a bookmark, put a paperclip in that for a minute. So Ishmael, the firstborn of Abraham, is born not through faith, but through works. Abraham taking the promises of God into his own hands. And later on in Genesis 17:17, we see Abraham asking God to bless his firstborn son. Like, Lord, you promised that my seed would be blessed. Here's kind of my seed. Like, I took it into my own hands and did it in my own way, but Lord, would you bless him? And what's interesting here is the idea of circumcision. We think of, oh yeah, the Jewish people are circumcised. But what we may not know is most of the Arab world is as well. And where do we get that? Because actually Ishmael was circumcised before Isaac ever existed. Okay? So fast forwarding then to Genesis 17, verse 18, Abraham now, Avram in the past now, Abraham has this kid that he sort of created through his own means to fulfilling the promises of God. And he says, oh God, if only Ishmael, if only the son who I named God has heard might live under your blessing. And God's response is this. He doesn't say, no, I hate the Arab people, right? And that's the thing. I think we talk about this on the podcast a lot. To appreciate God's chosenness of the Jewish people, to appreciate the distinct identity on earth and the calling, the irrevocable calling, Paul says, of the Jewish people is not and does not require the vilification of Arab peoples. Okay? It's not scriptural. So look, God says, or Abraham says, God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Lord, wouldn't your generational blessing that you promised me carry forward to Ishmael? And God says this. It says, God says, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear a son and you'll call him Yitzchak, which means laughter, because Sarah laughed when the promise that she would have a kid came in her old age. And listen to this. This is Genesis 17, 19, lest there's any question about what we mean when we say the chosen people, okay, and how it becomes Jacob and not other people groups. I will establish my covenant with him, with Isaac, Yitzchak, as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And we go, okay, good. Chosenness of the Jewish people, God's rejected Ishmael, right? No. Look at verse 20. And as for Ishmael, as for God has heard, I have heard you, and I will surely bless him. I'll make him fruitful and greatly increase his numbers. And it goes on. And so right here in Genesis, before Isaac and then Jacob and the Jewish people ever exist, Carly, we have this promise. We have a father pleading, Lord, would you bless my son? And he goes, it's the son you made, not in the way that I was waiting for you to make. So yes, I'll bless him. But this covenant, this in him and in his seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed, isn't through the son you made through your own means. It's through the son I'm going to give you through my own miraculous means. Remember, because the Hebrew, Ivrit, is all about hearing God, believing what he says and obeying. So Abraham missteps here, and yet even in that misstep in his faith life, God has a tremendous plan and destiny for Ishmael, for the Arab peoples of the world. So that's just something, like, I feel like we can't say it enough on this podcast. To stand with Israel, to love and bless the Jewish people, does not equate to vilifying or hating or talking down about the Arab peoples in the world. God loves the Arab people just as he loves the Jewish people and has a unique plan and destiny for them.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Before I actually worked here, if someone would have asked me, where did the Middle East conflict start? I could not have told you.
Right.
But, and we did a whole podcast on this, but for those that maybe didn't catch that, it's here.
Right.
It's Isaac and it's Ishmael and it's the Jewish people and the Arab people. Not that they're, like you said, God hates the Arab people, but this is where the conflict started with, which if you read these chapters, it's almost like a reality show of,
sure. You
know, drama of them figuring out, you know, how he's going to have a kid and is obedient to the Lord and all of that. So not much different from today's world.
Right. It's a Bible time soap opera right
yeah.
here.
So that's where it starts. So if you're interested in that, listen to that podcast or read these chapters as we encourage you to. But let's go now even farther down the lineage. You
sure.
mentioned Jacob, who becomes Israel.
Right.
So let's talk about him.
Right. So in our quick drive through that first book in the Torah, first book in the Old Testament called Genesis, or, you know, in case you're ever on Jewish Jeopardy, the word for Genesis in Hebrew is actually Bereshit, and it means in the beginning. And why is it called that? Because the book begins with in the beginning. So in Bereshit, in Genesis chapter 25, we continue this generational story of hearing, believing, and obeying and the resulting blessing. And so now you have Isaac, right? We already established in Genesis 17, God says, my covenant's with Isaac, the son of promise, not Ishmael, the son of works, even though I love Ishmael and I'll bless him greatly. So now you have Isaac and Rivka, his wife, who start to have kids, and they have these twins, right? And Esau comes out first. And so in Bible times, it was clearly understood that the first one out of the womb was the firstborn, and the firstborn carried the blessing. Okay, so good. Remember Genesis 12, Abraham, I'll bless you and bless your descendants, and in them all the families of the earth will be blessed. It's Isaac my covenant's with, not Ishmael. Okay, now we have Isaac gives birth to, or his wife gives birth to, Esau. He's the first one, right? And right behind him, holding on to Esau's heel, is Jacob in English. But Yaakov literally means heel grabber, because he's holding on to his brother's heel. So right from jump, Jacob wants what Esau has. And his name is, it's heel grabber, but it's also deceiver. So wait a minute. Why, pray tell, you may be asking as you listen to this podcast, didn't the blessing go to Esau? He's the first one out of the womb. It should go to Esau, right? But yet we also have these troubling verses where it says later in the Bible, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. I've despised Esau. Now, does that mean God hates every descendant of Esau? God doesn't necessarily hate anybody who's a unique creation. So what does it mean there? I've despised Esau. Where does that come from? Because later on in Genesis 25, we see this troubling account of Jacob deceiving Esau into selling his birthright. Now, they're both wrong. Jacob's a deceiver, and he steals that blessing, that Genesis 12 blessing from Esau. But Esau's more wrong. Why? Because he despised the blessing. Because the Bible says he was willing to sell the Genesis 12 blessing for a bowl of stew. And so, who's right and who's wrong? Well, they're both wrong, but in essence, the Bible's telling us Jacob's wrong for getting the blessing of God through deceptive means, but Esau is actually despised because he understood what was at stake. He understood my grandfather, Abraham, had this blessing, you know, as his descendant, I could be the blessing to all the families of the earth. My father, Isaac, taught me the same thing, but you know what? I'm hungry and I don't really care. And so, sure, Jacob, sure, heel grabber, heel deceiver, here's the blessing. I don't value it more than a bowl of stew. And that's that basis of God saying, I've despised him. I despised his choice to despise the blessing. And so right here, you have Yaakov, the deceiver, the one whose character is wrapped up in deception and hiding. And it's shameful, right? Like imagine your mom names you shoplifter. Right? It's like, I mean, carry that to kindergarten. Here's this guy whose name is heel grabber deceiver, and yet he gets the blessing. And so now, finally, three generations in, we've established that the Hebrew people, right, of the covenant is Abraham, passed on to Isaac, the son of faith, not works, passed on to Jacob, the deceiver who wanted the blessing, even though he got it through deceptive means.
Does it surprise you that God allowed Jacob to have that blessing? Even though he did it through deceptive ways. I mean, you know, I know this is a total opinion-based answer, but...
Does it surprise me? I think we got to look at the rest of Genesis, you know, a few more chapters in, to understand that desiring blessing isn't a bad thing. Maybe it's even a God-given thing, right? And Jacob has that. Yaakov, the heel grabber, the deceiver, has that. But I think what we see later on in the story is, but God won't leave us where we're at. And if we want his blessing, sometimes he has to change our identity in order for us to be equipped to have the blessing. And maybe, literally or figuratively, we even have to walk with a limp the rest of our life to remember that carrying his blessing requires a dependence on him every day. But now I'm preaching, and that's a story for another day. So Jacob, you know, is now this confirmed Hebrew, the one who's carrying this blessing, but that's not enough. Because he has to have his identity changed, and he wrestles, it says in the Bible, with a man, which is interesting, and it's a capital M. We could talk about this, and we do talk about this in other teaching, but I actually believe this is Jesus, Yeshua, the God of Israel, showing up. Who else could be, right? If God is God alone, and we don't worship gods, you know, with an S plural, and a man with a capital M shows up, who is it? I think the pre-incarnate Messiah, the God of Israel, is actually showing up, touching Jacob's hip socket and saying, in order for you to walk this blessing out in you and the 12 tribes you're going to have, who will become the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, I got to change your identity and make you dependent upon me. Mm-hmm. So you're no longer the deceiver. You're the one who strives with God and who prevails. Israel, mm-hmm. Israel. But again, that's a story for another day. So we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Does it go up to Adam? No. Does it go down through Jacob? And then, of course, at this point, all of Jacob's descendants, all 12 tribes, all of his 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel and what we know today as the Jewish people. But it starts right there with Abraham the Hebrew.
Something you said, Ezra, again, made me think of something that could apply to anyone, which is that he has to change God. He has to change our identity to sometimes allow us to have the blessing.
That's it.
Which I think is just so true to walking in faith as a follower of Jesus, that how many times does he have to change our identity? One, to become a believer, to allow him to bless us. And two, perhaps change, even once we become a believer, the things that we identify ourselves as, which sometimes can be painful, to allow him to bless us, which I just think is a good takeaway of these stories. So I always think it's interesting how you can take an Old Testament story that some people think, oh, the Old Testament, I skip over all those chapters, and apply it now. Because God and in what we're talking about here, Jesus is in those stories too.
And that's the tenderness and the discipline of God, right? Is what, just think, responding to what you're saying, Carly, right? Like, it's totally good for us to ask God to bless us, and he will. But he also goes, but in order for you to actually like walk out that blessing without self-destructing or being a terror to the people around you, I got to work on you. And so even for us as followers of Jesus, as followers of Yeshua, should we pray for blessing? Yeah. But maybe, me and you and all of us listening are in a process of going from the heel-grabbing identity that we were born into or that we walked out or that somebody told us we should, identify as, into something else that can actually, even if it's with a limp, carry the weight of the blessings God wants to give us.
Yeah. So let's go back to the original question, was Adam Jewish, which we identified as no.
Right.
So obviously we talk about Adam in the Torah.
Right.
So what do the Jewish people have to do with Adam?
Yeah, good question. So is Adam Jewish, even though he and Eve, are the parents of all mankind? We have Noah and the flood, more on that another day, where most of mankind is wiped out, but Noah is still a child of Adam and Eve, generations up the tree. So is Adam Jewish because the Jewish people are Jewish? No. But what's the relationship of the Jewish people to Adam? All Jewish people are from Adam. And now we have to remember what happens with Adam and Eve. Sin enters the world through the choice of Adam and Eve. Of course, they're deceived by the serpent, but nonetheless, they chose to do what they did. And so if the Jewish people are in Adam, which they are, along with, by the way, all peoples, tribes, tongues on the face of the earth, then the Jewish people are also born into this troubling, deadly, without the intervention of God, hopeless condition of being in sin, right? Being in Adam, meaning subject to the sinful desires of the flesh, and really imprisoned, destined, cursed, if you will, to walk out those sinful desires in a way that separates us from the presence of God, but for a Messiah. And so the Jewish people are chosen. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We get that. What were they chosen for? I'm going to make a statement that requires probably like hours to unpack. The Jewish people were God's priestly answer to the problem of sin in humanity. And he needed someone, namely Abraham, who would believe his words and follow him to call out from the nations and say, in you and in your seed, I'm going to create a people set apart for me, even though they're stiff-necked and stubborn and hard-hearted most of the time. I'm going to compel them and through cords of loving kindness walk them through history, ultimately culminating in the birth of Jesus, the Jewish man who we believe is the Messiah, resurrected in a body living in heaven now, coming back to rule and reign from Jerusalem. This idea of a priestly people who would be God's answer in his mercy and his justice to the problem of sin. And yet even being a priestly people, Carly, the Jewish people still need atonement for sin. And the blood of bulls and goats, the scriptures say, can never atone for a guilty conscience. It can atone for acts of sinfulness, but it doesn't change the condition of all Jewish people and all Gentiles in the world being in Adam, which means really subject to sin and death.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jewish people in Adam are just as much in need of redemption and salvation and an answer to our sinful condition as a people as are the most pagan people on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Are there levels of sin? I don't know. That's a story for another day. Are there sins that are more grievous to the heart of God? Maybe, but that's not the point. The point is if we're all in Adam, then we're all in sin.
Right. And we've talked about this before, kind of answering some myths or common misconceptions about Jewish people, but they don't have a different way to heaven.
Right.
And they need Jesus just like anyone else does.
Right. And they let me say it in two statements in case, you know, Jewish listeners, and we have many Jewish listeners are going, this is where I turn off the podcast because I'm Jewish and I don't believe in Jesus. Let me rephrase your statement. Jewish people, like anyone else, are in need of a redeemer, a Messiah, right? One who would take away the sin of the world. And you and I believe, and we see it clearly in the scriptures, the Old Testament, the Torah, the prophets, we believe that Jesus is that Messiah. He's that redeemer, not just for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but for all who would call upon his name. So that's the idea. That's what Adam has to do with the Jewish people and what the idea of a redeemer and a Messiah has to do with the Jewish people. More we could say, but there it is in a nutshell.
Yeah. I hope that answers the question clearly that Adam was not Jewish, but also provides some education into, you know, the history of the Jewish people and what that means through all of these different generations that we've talked about here. We talked at the beginning of this podcast about how we reach out to these communities around the world. And if you're familiar with Jewish Voice or us, you know that these communities are the lost tribes. That we just barely touched on that, but it's kind of amazing that connection that we're reaching these Jewish people that we just talked about all the way back into the Old Testament. As we mentioned earlier, if you would like a chance to win some of our Lost Tribes coffee, you can do that by going to ajewandagentilediscuss.org. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast today. If you want to hear more episodes, subscribe to this podcast. We're on pretty much all of the podcast channels. We'd love if you leave a review or share this podcast with someone you know, either Jewish or Christian, or anyone else. You can follow us on social media at the handle ajewandagentilediscuss. And just like we answered a question in this episode, you can submit your questions on our website as well. So thanks again for listening. Join us next week for another episode. The show is a production of Jewish Voice Ministries International.